Good evening to everyone out there in internet land. Wednesday evening of the 28th of February. And we're going to pick up where we left off last Wednesday. And we're going to continue these studies, the life and times of Peter the Apostle. But before we can actually get to Peter and look at his life and his ministries, we have to continue on with the ministries that we're seeing here that Jesus is performing. We will continue along that line until Peter starts into his ministry. So let's get started. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, starting with verses 21 through 28. And we're going to be looking at where Jesus healed a demon-possessed man in Capernaum in the synagogue. And please note while we're doing these studies that I'm presenting this to you in a chronological order, the best of my knowledge of Christ and his ministries, and it will be the same with Peter. But it's not all-inclusive, but we're doing it in a chronological order as I do the harmonies of the gospel. Please understand, too, in the gospels, each man's account may be slightly different from another's account because when you harmonize in these Gospels, Mark may have been there at the same incident was, or Matthew, or John, but each one is looking at a different angle. One may have seen it in his angle, while another of the apostles may have been looking from another angle and saw what he saw. That's why sometimes there may seem like a disparity in their accounts, but you have to understand that they were looking at different angles. Take, for instance, the Gadarene demon. Well, when they got out of the boat and they were looking, one account of the gospel shows there was only one demonized man there. And then another account shows from another one of the other apostles that, oh, I saw two men. That is why there are different camera angles here. And it's like you talk to eyewitnesses that saw an accident and there were many eyewitnesses. No doubt you're going to get a different view from what they saw. Yet it's talking about the same incidents. So as we get into this, let's go now to Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and he cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth even the unclean spirits. And they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region. Now let's look at Luke's account of the same incident. Luke's account in Luke chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 31. And came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine. For his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went into every place of the country round about. So this Capernaum, it was a prosperous fishing village on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. And Capernaum was a more important city than Nazareth, from which Jesus was raised up. It, as I told you last week, it came, it contained a Roman garrison, and it was located on the main road. And Jesus had made Capernaum his headquarters after his rejection in Nazareth. Remember that? And we find that he's teaching now in the synagogues. That was plural. And the synagogue was a place where the Jewish people gathered for worship. And we found from last week that this synagogue was a Jewish transliteration of the word meaning to gather together. And these synagogues basically originated from out of the Babylonian captivity after the destruction of the temple that was led by Nebuchadnezzar. And anyway, these synagogues served as places of worship and instruction for the Jewish people, and Jesus frequented these synagogues for teaching. So this authority that the Jews said, hey, we've never heard the teaching like this. Jesus was teaching with authority because he was the spoken word of God. As he spoke, it was a sharp contrast to what they had been used to being taught of by the scribes. So this teaching, it was personal, it was direct, it was forceful teaching. It was so foreign to their experience that all of those who heard Jesus teaching were just simply amazed. We find out that this man cried out in the synagogue, Satan and his demon host opposed Jesus' work. We find this throughout as we go through these studies. At every turn, Satan is opposing the work that Christ is doing, and he's using the religious leaders to do it with. But anyway, this man was possessed with an unclean spirit, or spirits, as we'll find. This unclean spirit was morally impure. The term unclean spirit is used interchangeably with demons. And they said, you know, what business do we have with each other? Or why do you interfere with us? The demon is saying. The demon was actually aware of who Jesus was. And he knew that Jesus belonged to one kingdom, while the demon belonged to another kingdom. The demon, his kingdom was of darkness. And Jesus was of the kingdom of light. So radically different kingdoms. And thus they had nothing in common. Jesus had nothing in common with his demon. Notice that the demon used the plural pronoun, we. So that indicates that he was speaking for all of the demons within this man. And the demon called him, you know, thou Jesus from Nazareth, and the Holy One of God. So the demon affirmed Jesus' sinlessness and his deity. And these were many truths which Israel themselves denied, and they still deny today. So Jesus told these demons, be quiet. Jesus wanted no testimony to the truth from the demon. Why? Because had this happened, then the scribes and the Pharisees could have said, and they did say, that he was in league with Satan. So he commanded them to be quiet. He spoke with absolute authority in his actions as well as his words. So we find here that Jesus, he heals this demon-possessed man at Capernaum in the synagogue. We know that Jesus taught on the Sabbath. He healed on the Sabbath. And according to the Halakha, that's a Jewish religious law, Shabbat, or the seventh, is observed from a few minutes before the sun sets on Friday. Before the sun sets on Friday evening, and it's observed until the appearance of three stars in the sky on Saturday night, or an hour after sundown. That's the Sabbath, okay? Some call it Shabbat, but the Sabbath, it is observed from a few minutes before the sun sets on Friday evening until the appearance of the stars of the sky on Saturday night, or an hour after sundown. That is their Sabbath. Well, to give you some background here, the Gospels record several occasions when Jesus performed a healing on a Sabbath day. In most instances, the healing was followed by a confrontation with the religious leaders. Jesus heals after teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, in this instance here, but there was no confrontation recorded. As a miracle, we're going to find out later on that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law in the home, and there was no confrontation there by the Pharisees. And Jesus knew that the Pharisees' rules regarding the Sabbath, so why did he choose to heal on that day? Well, it's important to know that Jesus was not violating any of the laws of God when he healed on the Sabbath. He was surely acting against the Pharisaical interpretation of the law and against their particular rules. But the Holy One of God, who came to fulfill the law, did not violate the law. Basic reason that Jesus healed on the Sabbath was that people needed his help. Needs no calendar to tell him, hey, this is the seventh day or the Sabbath. Jesus healed on the Sabbath in order to reveal the hypocrisy of the Pharisees' religion. In three passages where Jesus healed led to a confrontation, Jesus references how the Jews worked on the Sabbath by taking their animals, and that it was sanctioned by the Pharisees. In other words, Jesus is pointing out to these religious leaders that were confronting him about healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus is telling them, hey, you actually work, you Jews are working on the Sabbath by taking care of your animals. And that work was sanctioned by the Pharisees, because in that area and the time, animal care was a major part of a normal day. Jesus points out their willingness to work on the Sabbath to help an animal. And he says, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? That was Luke 13:15. And he rightly calls out their hypocrisy for denying aid to a daughter of Abraham. He says, if your religious rules allow for helping animals on the Sabbath, then it should definitely allow for the helping of people. And when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, he was also challenging these religious leaders with the question of doing good or evil on the Sabbath. And he asked, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill it? Mark 3:4. The leaders remained silent and refused to answer. His healing gave them the answer. Doing good and saving life is lawful, even on the Sabbath. Using the Sabbath rule to do evil or to kill is an ungodly perversion of the law. So let's take a look at this law that's in question, the Torah. The Torah is the law proper, but the Pharisees also added their traditions to the law that God had given. These religious leaders' traditions that they combined with the biblical law became as important to them as God's actual word. Jesus stood against such additions to the law, rebuking the teachers of the law for teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. The Pharisees' Sabbath restrictions forbade, here's just some of the following activities. Listen to this. Comprehend this. The Sabbath restrictions that was in place by these Pharisees that was added to the written word of the law of God. Here they are. Activities. They forbade these following activities. Writing, erasing, tearing, conducting business transactions, shopping, cooking, banking, kindling a fire, gardening, doing laundry, carrying anything for more than 6 feet in a public area, moving anything with your hand, even indirectly, with a broom, a broken bowl, flowers in the vase, candles on a table, raw food, a rock, a button that has fallen off. You could move things with your elbow or your breath, but not your hand. And this is just a partial list. Foolishness, in my mind. The complexity and the micromanaging of these Pharisees, these rules, how they intertwine it with the original rule of God's word. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the Sabbath day. If you call last Wednesday, I told you this word rested means ceased or stopped. He stopped the work. He ceased the work on the Sabbath day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It was simply man-made traditions that defined Jesus' healing as work. So when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, he was challenging the Pharisees' beliefs as being from man and not from God. Another reason that Jesus healed on the Sabbath was to remind people of why God instituted the Sabbath day of rest. The Sabbath was meant to benefit people as much as to glorify holy God. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath helped people recuperate mentally and physically after a week of work and redirect their focus from daily routine to God. Jesus' healing on the Sabbath was therefore very much compatible with God's purpose for the Sabbath. Okay, let's look now where Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Matthew 8:14. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with fever. Verse 15, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Let's look at Mark's account of this. Mark chapter 1, verse 29 through 31. Mark chapter 1, and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever. And anon, that means at once, they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left. Let's look at Dr. Luke's account of this. Luke chapter 4, verses 38 through 39. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. So when Jesus come into the house of Simon and Andrew, remember they were originally from Bethsaida, and the two brothers had moved to Capernaum, and also James and John was there with them. Only Mark mentions James and John's appearance at the presence of the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. We note that Paul also affirmed that Peter was married. And he did this in 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse 5. Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, said, do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Cephas being Peter. And it looks like that his mother-in-law was living with Peter and his wife, that may indicate that her husband was dead because there's no mention at all of the husband. And this fever that Peter's mother-in-law had put her so sick or ill that she couldn't get out of bed. And this, coupled with Luke's description of her fever as a high fever, suggests that her illness was very serious and maybe even life-threatening. Now let's look at where Jesus heals many after sunset on that same day of the Sabbath. Remember, after sunset on that Saturday, the Sabbath ends. So now we find that the people are bringing all of their sick to Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 through 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, let's look at Mark's account of this. Mark chapter 1, verse 32 through 34. Verse 32 of Mark chapter 1. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all of the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, that's many diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Luke chapter 4, verse 40 through 41. Verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, and all of they that had any sick with divers diseases, that's many diseases, brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. So we find here that all the people from the city brought many demon-possessed people. And these demonized, or those that were under the control of a demon. All of the cases of demonization dealt with by Christ involve the actual indwelling of demons who were utterly controlling the bodies of their victims, even to the point of speaking through them, causing derangement, violence. Some of them even administered to them, caused them to be mute. Matthew was citing a passage here when he talked about, even Isaiah spoke of this, Christ bore both the guilt and the curse of sin, both physically healing and ultimate victory over death are guaranteed by Christ's atoning work. But these will not be fully realized until the very end. And we also know that after the sun had set, this marks the close of a Sabbath, and the easing of the restrictions associated with, specifically those rabbinic laws that prohibited carrying of any bundles, such as stretchers, on the Sabbath. And this report of Jesus' healing of the demon-possessed man in the synagogue and Peter's mother-in-law created a sensation in Capernaum and aroused the hopes of all the other sufferers that may have been suffering any kind of infirmity. So now we're going to look at where Jesus departs from Capernaum to the hills around Bethsaida. And let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 38. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 38. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. When they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues, throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Let's look at Luke's account in Luke chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. Verse 42, "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee." And we find here that Jesus got up early in the morning before daybreak and left and looking for a place where he could be alone to pray. And we find that Simon and his companions, this is the first instance in the Gospels of Peter's assuming any type of leadership role. Those with Peter are not revealed, although Andrew, James, and John were likely amongst them. And finding Jesus, after a diligent search, Peter and the others excitedly implored him to return to Capernaum and capitalize on the excitement generated by the previous night's healings. But Jesus told them that I have other towns I need to go to and preach the gospel. So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Well, folks, we're going to end there with this message. Hope you have gleaned some information from it. And we'll continue on with this study in like manner until we finish. We may be here for a long, long time, but that's okay. We're getting the Word of God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this message. I thank you for this Word, Father God, that is so true. And Father, I thank you that we can look into your Word and we can see, Father God, all that you did, Lord Jesus, while you were on this earth in such a short time. And Lord Jesus, as we study your footsteps and sort of tag along behind you and what you've done and what you did, Father, I pray that we will pick up nuggets of truth that will be buried into our hearts until you return. So Father, take this message, take this word, anoint it in the ears and the hearts of those who heard it. Father God, that they may grow stronger with each day. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them with an ever-increasing knowledge and understanding of your word and wisdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Watch over them. Keep them safe, Father God, until we have a chance to do this again. Father, I bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good night, folks. Until we do this again, as Pastor Bob says, God bless you and yours real good. Good night.